Sixth movement, Violence and Care.
In Chester's talk, Philly is the strange contrast between this very sweet man who's become sweet and all his obsession with violence. Well, obsession is so strong, all his fascination with violence. And then, of course, the stories about, the stories they tell about being in Chicago.
I was green as a gourd. I'd been to Cincinnati, you know, for a little while at a time, but I was green as a gourd about a city big as Chicago. I mean, I was used to here, you didn't take nothing off of nobody. Anybody called you something, especially a son of a bitch, you would kill for it. But I always got along good with the Italians, the Mexicans, Germans, and everything except the color. I mean, I even got along with the, well, I had one tuffle with the Puerto Rican. I took my knife, what we call a hawk bill, and cut his belly open. That was over a girl, I guess. There was two sisters, they was from Tennessee, and I was seeing one of them, and he was seeing the other, and she, you know, I guess they'd broke up, she'd throwed him out. I was going up to see my girlfriend, he might have thought I was going to see his girlfriend. So he comes at me with his knife, and brain my arm up, and he cut me across the arm, and by that time I had my hawk bill out, and I cut him, and his guts, they was pouring out of him. And I walked on upstairs to my girlfriend. I did have enough decency about me to call the cops and tell them there's a guy on the street, somebody cut a guy on the street, and he's laying there with his guts all piled out. They come and got him. They took him to the hospital. I found out where he was in the hospital. I go see him at the hospital.
He didn't turn you in or anything?
Oh, no. No. He didn't take any warrants or anything for me. And I told him, I said, don't come back in the neighborhood no more. I will kill you when I went to the hospital. That's what I went to the hospital to tell him.
So when did Andy...
The stories they tell about being in Chicago... And those are also, I think, very powerful.
The one that stands out in my memory is when he's in Chicago and he goes to visit a woman, and there's somebody else there, and he knifes the guy and he says, "There's nothing personal, but if I see you again, I'm going to kill you."
Yeah.
And that to me really drove home that sort of southern rural. What happens when the southern rural culture makes its way to the city? Mm-hmm. And it was just so matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
but inevitable. There was no question about what was going to happen if they met again.
You know what that reminded me of? It reminded me of my grandmother, who came from the southern coast of Sicily. And in Sicily, they had this code of honor. And my grandmother, I mean, middle class, never talked about those things. You know, she'd been living in Rome for half a century. And there was a story in the paper about somebody killing someone in Sicily. And she says, well, of course. He dropped them of his honor, and honor is washed in blood. And here was my old, sweet grandmother talking about honor is washed in blood in the 50s in Terni, as a matter of fact, and because that's exactly the same thing. It's not personal.
And I didn't really start school until I was 14 years old. That's when Dad was making whiskey, him and my cousin and his son-in-law. And I was on the lookout with the shotgun to shoot three warning shots if the Revenuers was coming, so the Revenuers, they come, and I go to my spot where they could hear me fire the shotgun three times. I was just a small kid, let me see, and I shot my three warning shots, but they was all sitting there asleep, so
Chad Howard and Leslie Ball, that was Reverend Lewis, and some of the deputies, they walked up on him and they waked him up, told him, "You're under arrest." But in the meantime, I had run and I'd shot at the Reverend Lewis, trying to kill the Reverend Lewis. I was just a kid, but I was using a shotgun. It was an old 1913 shotgun, Jay Stevens, the name of it. I still had it. And I shot the hard hat off of the Leslie Ball's head. But they never did return fire at me. I guess they knowed I was just a kid. So they brained Dad.
You got caught in a belt sling?
Yeah, I got caught in what we call the headpiece of conveyor belt. When I was in the hospital, they told me the next morning, they said the fauna, they couldn't, where they put the infection, they couldn't get me in the room. They had to remove part of the door to get me in the room, and they'd left me out by the nurse's station.
I've stayed in the hospital with Chester.
They told me it took three of them to hold me in bed. The phone rang next morning. They took three of them to hold me in bed, keep me from getting out and going to work.
They done pretty good considering.
I was trying to get out of bed and go to work.
They had one aide and one nurse for 20 surgical patients.
About 2 weeks later, I really started remembering.
So basically what they did was,
a lot of times I couldn't talk back, but
just
now before
nurse,
that, I remember.
She was constantly busy giving
the
shots.
The doctor and my wife standing at the foot of my bed.
And stuff like that, and whoever was
there. I remember the doctor telling
patients.
Her, he was from Iran. And I remember him telling her that the doctors had done all they could do, and it would be just
What did you do when he were in the
matter of two or three days till it be all
over.
I
done everything for him. I bathed him, shaved him.
And I went to raise up and hit the doctor and cuss him, but I couldn't raise up and I couldn't talk.
The whole nine yards.
I
went
to tell him. I'll tell you the words that I want to tell him. I went to raise up and
tell him,
"You son of a bitch, I'm not ready to die yet, and I'm not going to die."
He got hurt
and
the 7th of May, and 17 days later, Sherry broke her arm.
And I had two small kids.
So the doctor that took care of him,
you know,
wasn't there that night. I had to bring her over here to a doctor.
Well, Granny, she stayed with me day and night.
I know.
And the kids could come in, sit on my bed or whatever they wanted.
It was about 21 or 22 days that I went never in bed.
And I had a picture of my two babies there.
I'd come home long enough to take a bath
and
change clothes and go back.
And I guess really them two kids is what...
And then when Sherry broke her arm, I was over here with her of a night. I'd go back and feed him of morning and bath him and come back over here and take care of Sherry and then go back and feed him supper.
How does it feel to be unable
to? Because, see, his traction, he couldn't get nothing.
Well, I still get up in time to go to work every day.
They didn't have the
I would love to
help
be out there.
They didn't have the help
driving
to do
one of coal trucks. Or
and down here, they really,
you
know, if you have a child in there, they
something.
Prefer
love to be doing
a parent to stay with.
But
you.
I may go work one day and I might be down in my back now till for the next 2 weeks, so... So I still, you know, keep busy with the boys, Boy Scouts. I help them. I would keep busy with them with the football. And I still keep busy. I got my grandchildren here, raising them, and I hunt and fish with them. And I don't just sit down and do nothing now. That's for sure. I stay active.
People used to like take. Teeth, ears, pieces of the enemy's body. Did you do that?
Yeah, I did. There's several incidents where we captured some prisoners and done during the gas and the. I was present, but I didn't actually own that, and I didn't. Anyway, they trimmed him, and
what do you mean trimmed him?
Well, took a knife, cut his balls, pulled them out, stuck him in, hit him in the gut, stuck him in there and made him swallow. Cut their ears off, and cut their ribs from the backbone, pulled them right out the meat, them alive, torturing, you know, heavy. That I've done, but I didn't like it, and I know. and still don't. And many times when I got home, I'd have nightmares about it. And Mom, she what's the matter with you? I was having bad dreams. I'd never tell her, you know, that's reason. But, she didn't know I was in service or seen something like it. She'd seen the change in me, but the things I've seen.
Now, the one that the first I'm sure that I took care of was like a mother to me when my mother died. She's always here when I needed her. They took both of her legs
smells and around me, my own boys, how they look when they get hit, blowed up, or whatever, you know, even from, and the enemy too, and much of it I inflicted on them, you know, blowing
it was
apart.
Pain to take care of. But I was glad I was able to do it then. And right after they both died, I got to where I couldn't walk and get around. So, wouldn't forbid it. I don't know what to do. Just sit here, I guess.
And then I had to drop out for a while. Mom had a light stroke in her side. She had no use of it. I had to drop out for a couple of 3 years, and kind of that to help her, and, you know, stay with her and take care of her. And when I did go back to school,
wouldn't for Billy, I don't know what I'd do. He cooks for me. Well, I guess it all come out.
Yeah.
And then I worked there in Michigan until one of my sisters got sick, and she wrote me a letter, and I come home, stayed with her till she died, and wouldn't. How long was it till Mal got down?
Less than a year.
The oven got down. I kept both of them till they died.
After the first few kills, it gets a little easier. It don't get real to loving it, but it gets easier to pull the trigger or slice one throat or whatever, you know. And you just turn everything off to stay alive, you know, and do your job best your capability and the way you was trained for.
Survival.
Survival.